We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome into the Buffs Insider, a weekly podcast with Neil Welk at CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Football season in the can. It is over. There's no bowl game for the Buffaloes after they finish 5-7, losing their final game last week at Utah. Of course, the basketball teams are rolling along. Women at 5-1, the men at 6-0. You got volleyball in the NCAA tournament this week. But Neil, we'll start putting a cap on the football season. 5-7, certainly a lot of disappointment for everybody, and I guess unmet expectations this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think the way they finished the season, I think, is probably the most disappointing to fans, to coaches, to players, to everybody. They had a bowl game on the line and did not put forth a good effort, you know, in the final game. Down 28-0 at the half. They lose 34-13 was the final. And just a game that you thought that they would come out and play much better and play as if something was at stake. And certainly they didn't play that way, especially in the first half.
Yeah, I think when a season is over, regardless of what sport you're talking about, coach's number one job is to sit down and analyze what went right, what went wrong, what can we change, what can we fix, all those kind of things. I think maybe that's the number one question for the Buffaloes. Were they the most talented team in the Pac-12? No. Were they good enough to be talking about a 6-7-8-win team? I think that is the case, and maybe that's the question then. Why didn't this team get there?
No, I think that's what, you know, I think that's what coaches are going to be looking at, and players, and hopefully they all spend a lot of time looking at some film and performing some pretty honest introspection and self-analysis there, because this was a team that, yeah, had the ability and the potential to win 6-7-8 games and instead finished up winning 5. And I think they need to look at it and see all those little things that they didn't do well this year, the difference making plays that they didn't make, and figure out how to start making those a year from now.
You know, I think it's always a case of woulda, coulda, shoulda. And you and I have talked many times here on the broadcast about, you know, that 15 through 40 in the country, the difference between 4-8 and 8-4 is a handful of plays. But boy, when you go back and look at some of the close calls, the Arizona State game, the Arizona game, the UCLA game, if you're the head coach or on that staff or one of the players, those are memories that should keep you up for a few weeks.
Well, those are, you know, not just keep you up for a few weeks. hopefully they don't forget those throughout the off season, because that made the difference between, like you said, finishing 5-7 and maybe 8-4 or 7-5. I mean, you win a couple of those games, very winnable games, and those are the games that I hate to keep bringing up 2016, but those are the plays they made a year ago. Those are the plays they did not make this year, and that's the difference, like you said, between 4-8 and 8-4. And so hopefully they take a look at those, and hopefully it does give them some nightmares, and they do spend some time thinking about, you know, how do they make those plays a year from now.
You and I, as long as you and I have been covering college athletics, you find those guys that you truly just love, you appreciate for the next, well, you and I are going to be around for 20 more years doing this, but for the next decade or so, we talk about some of our favorite players. Philip Lindsay's going to be one of those guys for obvious reasons. There was a guy you never questioned his effort, his intensity, his focus, all these different things. As we put a postscript on his career, now that he's a former Buffalo and will certainly, I think, have a career in the National Football League, ends up the number two rusher all time, some 275 yards shy, roughly, of Eric Bieniemy. What stands out to you? What's kind of your postscript for a guy like Philip Lindsay?
The thing that stands out about Philip Lindsay is that it was never about Philip. The whole time he was here, it was always about winning football games, getting better, helping his teammates get better, and doing it for the state. And he talked about that continuously. The state, the community, the university, that really meant something to Philip. Wearing the University of Colorado jersey was an important part of his development, and he wanted to win, not for himself, but for all the people that had supported him. And that's what's going to stick with me about Philip, you know, for a long, long time, was just what a selfless individual he was and how hard he worked to make the program better. It was to make Philip better, but Philip wanted to get better because it would make the program better. And what a wonderful kid.
You'd almost like to be able to bottle whatever that is and sprinkle it on the guys around him in future classes. And you wonder how many of these young guys picked up on that and saw it and have an appreciation and it maybe said, I'm going to make what made him great part of what I'm going to be as a player.
If that sinks in, then it will be a good thing. If those young kids watch the hours that Philip Lindsay put in every day, watching film, preparing his body, getting ready to play, working with teammates, then this program is going to be in pretty decent shape. If enough of those guys look and see what Philip did, because Philip is the player that every coach wants.
Yeah, good stuff for the Buffaloes and Philip Lindsay. We certainly wish him the best. And as he moves on, he's going to get a good shot in the National Football League, undoubtedly. All right, looking forward for this football team. There's plenty of guys coming back next year. How do you kind of look in your crystal ball? What do you see for this football team?
You know, there's a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. Obviously, there's some great receivers coming back. The offensive line is coming back. You've got your quarterbacks coming back. Defensively, your defensive, just about everybody comes back on your defense. You lose a few guys here and there. What is going to be important in this offseason is the weight room, it's going to be conditioning, and it's going to be that mental part of the game that makes them hungry again. And I, if there was anything that struck me about this team this year, was they practiced well. They didn't have bad practices. You never saw that hunger. And you saw enough practices in 2016 and then this year to see the difference. This team never had the hunger, that inner drive that the 2016 team had. And I hope that they recover that in the offseason and realize that that's when you win games, is the offseason. It doesn't just show up on Saturday in September.
Is it part of the learning and growing process of a program, I'm wondering? 2016, the Buffaloes snuck up on a lot of people. 2017, they snuck up on nobody. Everybody was prepared for the Pac-12 South champions. I'm wondering sometime if that group as a whole didn't understand the intensity level that, you know, let's be honest about it. Every time somebody plays Alabama, they're playing the Super Bowl, right? Every time somebody plays Ohio State or Michigan, it's like the Super Bowl for them. Maybe the Buffs didn't understand that aspect of preparation and intensity week in and week out because they'd never been there before.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because I don't think the players understood that. I think a lot of the young players that had been through that winning season, and maybe they were freshmen or sophomores, and they just kind of thought that that's the way it was going to be. And I don't think they had they realized that everybody was going to be gunning for them this year. That was the team that finished 8-1 in the Pac-12 2 years ago. And so everybody was going to be looking for them and giving them their best shot. And I don't think that it sank in until maybe a little bit too late.
Buffalo's moving forward. You've still got Steven Montez back in quarterback. entering 2018, is he the unquestioned starter quarterback, or is there going to be some pressure on him?
Oh, no, I think they open up the competition in the spring because I think they want to see what Tyler Lytle has. They know a little bit about what Sam Noyer has, but, you know, Tyler Lytle is a redshirt freshman that they've really liked what they've seen from him on the scout team, big arm. Poise in the pocket, all those type of things. So you definitely want to give him a good shot and see what he has there. You also want to see if Steven takes that next step. And I think toward the end of the year, you saw Steven improve a little bit, get better in the pocket, make better decisions, do those kind of things. It's the guy that threw 160 passes without throwing an interception. He cut down on those. But I think it's going to be an open competition in the spring, and I think it makes everybody better. So I'm kind of looking forward to spring ball to see how that shakes out.
I think I would say, as you look at the program right now, you'd say they're at a crossroads right here, right? It's one thing to have a nice season, as the Buffs certainly did a year ago. It's another thing to consistently do that, right? You got to learn certain things about the preparation. So I'd say right now you're looking at a football team that certainly has got the opportunity with the talent that it has to go in the right direction, go back out, get back to a bowl game, win 7-8 games in 2018 and continue the progress. You hope that's the direction they take and not going the other direction.
Exactly. This is a team that won 5 games this year, had a chance to win a couple more, had a chance to have a winning season, didn't do it. And so that's a great description. They're at a crossroads. Which direction are they going to go from here? And that starts at the top. That starts with Mike McIntyre, and I wrote a column about that after the Utah game. That starts at the very top. This has to be everybody looking at themselves, coaching staff. It starts at, you know, every assistant coach. What did they do wrong? What did they do right? And how do they get better? How do they, you know, fix these little problems in the off season and make themselves better? And so I think the entire team has a chance to get better, but it will not happen just by talking about it.
Yeah, without question. And the next thing up for the Colorado Buffaloes from a football standpoint is that new early signing period, December 20th. It'll be just around the corner here for the Colorado Buffaloes. And, of course, the bowl season will not include the Buffs, so they'll be watching a lot of football for the next few months. It's amazing how chemistry changes on a team, and this will segue us into basketball a little bit. You take leaders like Sefo Lufau, Chido Awuzie out of a team, and you got a little bit different attitude. For the Buffaloes, you throw in a guy like McKinley Wright, and you got a very different thing as we segue into talking about Tad Boyle's team, who, by the way, tomorrow are at Colorado State for an early one, 11 a.m. tip-off, by the way. That was done before Collins, but Rams thought maybe they were going to be in the Mountain West Conference title football game. That didn't happen, so we're going to have an early basketball game. 10:30, the pregame on the Colorado Basketball Network. But the more I see of this team that Tad's got now, with all the new guys and a new kind of personnel in the squad, the more I want to see, because this 6-0 basketball team's awful impressive.
This is a fun team to watch because this team wants to win above everything else. You've got a guy like George King who, you know, is playing for the NBA. George wants to go play at the next level, certainly has the ability to give that a good shot. But more than anything, George wants to win, and George is playing that way. Torrey Miller is playing that way. Dom Collier is playing that way. Then you throw in all those young freshmen, beginning with McKinley Wright, Tyler Bay, Deshaun Swartz. Their number one goal is to win. There's not a hidden agenda on this team, and Tad has used that phrase a couple of times. The only agenda is to win. They're playing together. They enjoy each other's company. They enjoy playing with each other. The rotation, it's not, you know, when people go out there, they take advantage of the minutes they're getting, and so it's a fun team to watch, and it's just a dramatically different team than it was a year ago.
Yeah, undoubtedly, they're fun to watch. They've got the Rams tomorrow up at Moby Arena. The one thing about this team, and you watch it, being a basketball fan like you are, I know you appreciate it like I do. It's the subtle little things that I see McKinley Wright that just blow me away that you don't see a lot of guys do that make a total difference on a basketball team.
He's like a quarterback. I mean, and point guards are quarterbacks. And McKinley Wright reads the floor, sees things as well as anybody that has played that position here in a long time. And that includes Derek White. Derek White was not a true point guard. Derek White kind of got pushed into playing that position. McKinley just sees the floor, anticipates things. He's a little bit like a Joe Montana. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. Or a Wayne Gretzky. He knows where the puck is going before the puck gets there. And McKinley's that way. He just knows what's going to happen on the floor. He anticipates it, and then he reacts how it's going to happen. He doesn't react after it happens.
And he's a player, by the way, starting to garner national attention. Troy Andre, the basketball sports information director, was telling me that Seth Davis contacted him, writing a piece, obviously beside Andy Katz of Virginia. So a lot of the national guys are starting to pick up on McKinley Wright. Besides McKinley Wright, what freshman interests you or is catching your eye?
The one that over the last few games, it's just been, you know, a lot of fun to watch, and is not doing anything spectacular, but doing a lot of little things really well, is Deshaun Swartz, who has had really nice. I think he's got Pat Rooney from the camera pointed that out this morning. He's played about 80 minutes this year. He's got one turnover. He's really, you know, he's letting the game come to him. He's not making mistakes. When he has a chance to score, he scores. He's got some assists. He's got some rebounds. And he's a guy that I think is going to grow dramatically as this year progresses and is going to become more and more important in that rotation. So I love the way that Deshaun Swartz is playing. I love Tyler Bay's athleticism. He's more of an up-and-down guy that will just make some, you know, spectacular plays, and then he'll have that play where you go, Tyler, you probably shouldn't have tried to do that. But those are the three out of those freshmen who I think I just enjoy watch playing.
Tyler, I call him a baby giraffe. He's all arms and legs right now. My goodness, is he long. Hey, how about this ball game tomorrow up in Fort Collins? Rams had a loss on Tuesday night. They're now 3-4 in the season, so that you don't expect that for what the coach has done up there, but this isn't a Rams team like we've seen the last couple of years, but something tells me they'll elevate their game for the Buffaloes.
I can promise you that they're going to be ready. Larry Eustachy loves this game. It is his big non-conference game. He loves playing the Buffs. He loves getting his team fired up. They're going to come out. They're going to play tough. They always play very physical. I can't imagine that it's not going to be a close game, at least for a while. And the really weird thing about this game is, Mark, the last four have been won by the visiting team. So take that what you want out of it. It's at Fort Collins.
Yeah, go figure that out, because I've always thought college basketball is the most home-heavy game there is. So the fact that the visiting team has won each of the last four is amazing. You know, Moby Arena, and you know, listen, Buff Nation, I'm sorry I'm saying this, is a fun place for a basketball game. When you come in there, in particular for the CU game, the atmosphere is phenomenal. So even though you're on the visitor side and you're getting booed all the time, the atmosphere is still great for a college basketball game.
The CU players love playing up there. I mean, I talked to several of them, you know, over the last week, and they love it. They go up there. It's a hostile environment. People are yelling at them. People are screaming at them. Torrey Miller said, you know, that's one of the few places we go. He said, an hour before the game, it's full. He said, they're there, they're yelling at us, in warm-ups. And he said, you kind of like that. It gets you fired up, you want to play your best. And CU players love going up there, and it is. It's a tough place to play. It's a hostile environment. It holds about 8,000 people. You get 4,000 or 5,000 in there, and it's a loud, raucous gym.
You know what I miss? I miss the Spencer Dinwiddie factor in this series with him talking trash, referring to the Rams as little brother and taunting the crowd. That always added a nice extra layer to the rivalry.
Yeah, and that made Tad wince about 16 different ways. Boy, when Spencer talked about little brother, you could just see Tad shaking his head and saying, no, don't say that. But it certainly brought another element to that. And, yeah, that's just what this game is. And I fully expect Larry Eustachy's team to come out. They love to shoot a lot of threes this year. If they start hitting some threes early, this is a game that is going to be a lot of fun to watch down to the end.
And by the way, Spence was one of those rare guys that would back up the trash talking. So give him credit in that regard. Let's segue. And by the way, again tomorrow, that's 11 o'clock, 10:30, the pregame show, 11 o'clock, the tip-off, Buffs and Rams, Moby on the Colorado Basketball Network, and streaming live at CUBuffs.com. Segue to J.R. Payne's team. They're playing some good ball right now, coming off a nice tournament win last week. They've got CSU coming up here early next week, but they're playing very well. Kennedy Leonard, everything we expected.
Kennedy is just one of those players who had a great summer, worked her tail off, and is shooting very well, playing very well, distributing the ball, and she's become a floor general. She's clearly the leader of this team, and they're feeding off of her. What she has is some really good young post players, Annika Jank, Janae Bunn, some players like that that have come in and played very well, and it's now a team that can play inside out that didn't always have that ability to do that. And so this is another team with a lot of young players that I think is going to continue to get better as the year goes on. I think they're going to hit Pac-12 play and maybe surprise a few folks.
Yeah, Annika Jank has been an outstanding addition, and Kennedy was fun. We talked to her on the TV show this week, and I said, how have you gotten better? And she said, I'm good at all three aspects, driving into the hoop, hitting the mid-range jumper, shooting my three. But she said, I'm a much better leader. I'm an upper class. Then she talked about how old she was, and I reminded her who she was talking about, and she immediately stopped talking about how old she was. So Buff women getting ready for Colorado State early next week. Real quick, before we wrap up here on the Buffs Insider, we've got a little postseason volleyball coming up later on this afternoon. The Buffaloes down in Waco, opening round of the big dance as they take on James Madison.
great year for Jesse Mahoney's team. Great year. His second year as the head coach. You know, they really improved down the stretch. They went 5-5 in the first half of the Pac-12. They finished up with a 7-3 finish in the second half of the Pac-12. Made it to the NCAA tournament. They get JMU, James Madison, in the first round. If they win, they get Baylor. This is another program that's on its way up. I mean, he's got some young players, the freshman of the year in the Pac-12 conference, Brenna DeLuzio, one first-team all-conference player, three or four on the honorable mention. Just a very good team. And again, I think he's got his culture kind of built into this team, and it's a program that's going to just continue to improve.
You can tell where my mind is. On the air the other day, I said they were playing Dolly Madison. So it's not a cream puff, although I like eating them. It's James Madison this afternoon, 3:30 Mountain Time, down in Waco, Texas. Don't forget basketball tomorrow, the CU man up in Moby. 10:30, the Buffs warm-up brought to us by Safeway, the tip-off between Colorado and Colorado State at 11 o'clock on the Colorado Basketball Network and streaming live at CUBuffs.com. For Neil Welk, I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining this week on the Buffs Insider.